Hello, you guys, and welcome to another episode of The Sip. I'm Ryland Adams, of course, joined by
Lizzie Gordon.
And thank you so much for being here. Today, first, I guess the first thing we have to address is, and I hate to do this because Trish's friendship means more to me than a headlining story on this podcast. I hate that we're a podcast that does hot topics and I've somehow
become a hot topic
that I feel I have to address in some sort of way because I've been flooded on all elements of social media regarding this situation. And Trish is mad at us right now. And I guess the only... I'm confused. I was taken back a little bit, and I understand, like, she's had drama with Jeffrey and Hair by Jay, who has... Hair by Jay obviously said horrific things that I don't stand by, I don't support. Obviously, I support Trisha over Hair by Jay. Like, I've never followed this man. I don't know this man. I've met him once in passing.
Yeah.
And the fact that I'm so heavily involved with this really does break my heart because I love Trisha so much.
Yeah.
I consider her one of my closest friends. We see her more than I see really anyone besides you because you come over weekly for this podcast. And I guess at the end of the day, I truly wish she would have come to me as a friend if she was hurting like the way that she is, mm-hmm. and talked it out with me. And I wish that it wouldn't have played out on the internet like this. I just am really honestly confused because I see her all of the time. And even after the last time Jeffrey was physically on this podcast, I was at her house and we had a wonderful, loving time. And I understand maybe it's hard for her to express her actual feelings towards Jeffrey to us, or the gravity in which she's feelings towards Jeffrey when she knows we're specifically friendly with Jeffrey. So maybe it's hard for her to like ask me to cut him off. But at the same time, I can't read someone's mind. And I feel like as an adult, I have two other adult friends that got in an altercation a year ago. And maybe it is my fault for never having asked her where she truly stands or wants me to stand. I just, I felt as though that was like their lane. I never hung out. I think one time I was with Jeffrey, Shane, Trish, and myself together. Like, they were independently friends, and they're both independently my friends. And like I said, I see Trish all the time. I love her, and I wish she would have just hit me up personally so that we could have dealt with this situation. And I feel awful. I feel awful that I contributed to her feeling this way because she's obviously scared and hurting and doesn't want to be in the position she's in. I don't believe.
Yeah.
I have this podcast, and trust me, there's nothing I would rather do than just go about business as normal and have
and
a
handle
fun...
it privately.
Well, and just like, yeah. I don't want to have drama on the internet. Trish's friendship to me means so much more than the internet.
Yeah.
And so I'm just bummed out by it, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of love for Trish, too. I don't know her personally by any means, just from our one exchange on the show. And like, since I met her in person, I've had nothing but nice things to say about her. And I'm a fan of her, and I'm a fan of her content and what she does. And I just, I find it deeply regrettable that something that we put out that was intended to be lighthearted and fun and commentary caused her so much pain.
And I guess that's the reason for the confusion is that this came after, like, we were talking about Jeffrey and Kanye, which, I mean, we talk about hot topics on the show. The whole world was talking about it. I'm not justifying it. Like, I guess it is, to her feelings are valid. However she's feeling is 100% valid. And Shane did reach out to her. I wanted to kind of let things play out for a second because I learned a lot last year. Like, I jumped on some things too quickly last year. Mm-hmm. And even when the internet is coming at you, I'm still a person in regards to any drama on the internet. I think it's healthy to like take a step back, think about it breathe about it. Like, just because something's coming at you doesn't mean I necessarily need to react. I'd rather
react publicly, really. Yeah.
And bottom line, I love Trish so much. I wish her all the happiness in the world, even if she chooses not to be in our lives. And I think she's iconic. I'll always think she's iconic. I have so, so, so much love for her. And I guess that is where I'll leave it for now. I'm never going to talk badly about her on the internet.
Yeah.
I hope we mend our friendship, and I hope things are okay and we can talk about how we're feeling together in person in real time eventually. Yeah.
I just want to, you know, echo your sentiment. Like, we love you, Trish. I'm so sorry that you're going through this. I don't stand by anything negative that was ever said about you.
And yeah.
I continue to, you know, love and support you.
Yeah. All right. Well, minutes before, and I don't mean to, you, there's no real easy
there's
way to
no
transition
segue,
out of
yeah.
this, but I will say before that, I was like feeling really good last week. And like, I finally, I was getting back on the treadmill of life, like after the holidays and starting to work again. I was like,
same.
This is a new year. I knew me. I'm about to clean out my house. So I feel productive. Like, my office is always like a train wreck. Like, the world just erupted in my office. And oh, I also do want to say it is inauguration day. The day this is airing, we pre-filmed.
Right.
I'm not ignoring that. I wish us all a safe transition. And I think it's going to be filled with good entertainment. I saw Lady Gaga was going to be there. Tom Hanks is going to be there.
Stop.
So I just hope.
I have a Tom Hanks relationship.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. When I was 11, I went to Tom Hanks's Lifetime Achievement Award ceremony, and I was sitting right at a front table, and he came down from the stage and he embraced me and said, I hope you don't get too bored. And I was so lit. I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is my primetime debut. I had a viewing party that was also pre-taped. So I invited a bunch of people over to like watch me be on TV and get a hug from like Tom Hanks.
They cut
it out. They edited me out.
Well, see, some things are just for you. You'll always have that moment in your heart. You'll always have his wise words.
I need the receipts.
Yeah. All right. So I was cleaning out my entire house. New year, new me. And so I tackle my office and I'm going into the guest bedroom and I'm like, I'm really going to get this closet under control because it's like an explosion of YouTuber merch. And
I'll help you with that.
I look over to my left and there's a fucking snake in my bathroom. A snake in my bathroom, in my house,
no.
In real time. And I just freeze. I like jumped up on the bed and I looked over. Honey, our dog is just hanging out on the bed where the snake is on the floor,
no
right
way.
Beneath him. Honey's just chilling, living it up.
Did Honey not see the snake? Because dogs are supposed to be like evolutionarily programmed to not fuck with snakes. Like, they hate snakes. We used to bring snake skin home and our dogs would just get on edge and their hair would raise. If I go like this, Mr. Bubs freaks out.
It was so still. It was so still that at one point I was like, are my eyes fucking with me? And this is just a shoelace that has been misplaced. Like, my mom was just here. Maybe when she was packing like a
That's
shoelace.
A thick lace.
It was a smaller snake. Like, it was long, but it was
thin.
I saw
it. You sent me a video of it.
And so I just start freaking out. And I was like, okay, I have to get this out of the house. So I call, I like run to get something. And I'm like, wait, I can't leave. What if it slithers away and I don't see where it goes? So I call Shane. I'm like, I don't know what you need to get, but you need to get something and get to this bedroom fast. So I told him to like go get the pool leaf cleaner out.
Oh my God.
Because it's all I could think about doing. Now that I've Googled it, they're saying a broom and a bucket is the more realistic approach to this.
Was it like, is it called a gardener snake?
I didn't know that at the time. I could tell it wasn't a rattlesnake because there was no.
Yeah. I mean, what's so crazy to me is like, oftentimes I think about you as like kind of a manly man who's like good in the wilderness. And the fact that you went and got a pool tool to get rid of the snake in your guest bathroom is. I don't even think I know you.
The only thing I thought I could do, because if it got him in the net, I could safely take him to the backyard where he could live happily ever after. Anyways, I failed.
No, yeah.
I put it in front of him and he slithered under the sink vanity. And so at that
point, he's still in your house?
Okay, Lizzie, at that point, I'm still full-blown freaking out. And I also just realized I let Brigitte go to the bathroom in that bathroom without having had thought about it. Okay, but I do an inspection ever since that happened on Friday afternoon.
I was in your house.
Listen,
I would have gone in your house if I knew that there was a fucking snake in there, you psychopath.
Elizabeth McGarry.
Don't leak my real name. He's Brigitte. Check this bitch before I wreck this bitch.
So I panic, and it's one of those Jack and Jill bathrooms where there's two doors in the bathroom. So there's two escapes for this snake. I panic and close the doors to the bathrooms, and then I put towels under it while I'm calling a million exterminators like, hey, I have a snake in my house. What's going on? I called six people before one deals with snakes. Come to find out, it's not very common for a snake to get in someone's house because there's nobody that removes it. Like the regular, like Orkin, all of your standard extermination companies don't do it. So I had to finally find an animal control place who was like, well, I can't be there for 2 hours. So I like am panicking, but I'm like, well, that's really my only option because I have no business playing peekaboo under a vanity with a snake.
Fuck no.
And so, I'm like just trying to focus on something else while the exterminator gets there. He shows up to safely remove the snake. And he's nowhere to be found. He comes out 5 minutes later and he goes, there's no snake in here. I was like, there's definitely a snake
in
there.
No, bitch. I meant it when I said you need to burn your house down and salt the land. This is not, you fuck this.
And so then I had flashbacks to when you were talking about toilet snakes.
Yeah, dude.
Are these the type of snakes that can come in through your plumbing?
Snakes are limitless. I can't even explain to you how they float and swim and they can move through water, which makes no goddamn sense to me.
After the fact, I was reading a book while shitting this morning because that's what I do, I guess. And then I started thinking, what if the snake comes up through this toilet and bites my ass? But moral of the story,
I'm really glad you know this fear now.
I've never caught. Yeah, finally.
Now you find some empathy, you fucking psychopath.
Okay, that is. I didn't want to harm the snake. I wanted him to safely exit. And the problem was this is long and boring, but we had to replace the outdoor door in there. And there's like the smallest sliver.
And that's
opening.
How he got in.
So he either got in there through the plumbing. But anyways, I don't know where he escaped in the bathroom. I had sealed under the doors so tight. So he either went out through the plumbing or he's in one of the cupboards. But we looked endlessly for this snake. And now I'm fearing for my life when I go to bed because the guy was like, yeah, they can kind of climb walls in a weird way.
They can do fucking anything.
And
like,
so
I don't
now
trust
I'm
them.
Just waiting to be woken up by a snake in my bed. My biggest concern was honestly that the snake might hurt my animals. And the guy had reassured me that if anything, my cat would kill the snake before the snake harmed the cat.
Oh, let's pray that Cheeto gets this guy.
So I'm hoping for that, or I'm hoping he found a safe way to exit the building. But with that, we do have a sponsor for today's show that I'm so very excited about. All right, today's episode is sponsored by Philz. Philz is premium CBD delivered right to your door. It's perfect if you experience stress, anxiety, chronic pain. Personally, I like to take some of it before I go to sleep. It just helps me sleep smooth and soundly throughout the night. If you don't use it for sleep, it honestly helps you think more clear and concise. Philz works naturally to help you feel better. There's no high, there's no hangover. It works in just minutes. You take the little dropper, place it under your tongue for 30 seconds, and then swallow, and you're good to go. If you're new to CBD, they actually have a hotline where you can call them and they'll talk you through how to use it.
Ooh.
They also have a really cool membership that you can pause or cancel at any time where you can get the CBD delivered directly to your doorstep every month. I do think it's worth mentioning that it has less than 0.3% THC. So you're not going to start, if you're like me, hallucinate. I don't hallucinate when I'm on pop, but I really like
emotionally tripping.
I go like so introspective, and Philz does not make me feel that way. So if you want to take advantage of Philz sponsoring our podcast, go to philz.com/sip and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's philz.com/sip to become a member and get 50% off automatically when you have your first order with free shipping.
Say no more. I'm signing my mans up for this.
So what's been going on with you?
I've forgotten my entire life up until this moment, knowing that you just fucking put me in a house with a fucking serpent. Like,
So, you said you had some beef with me, but you didn't want to bring
it up. I mean, now I've got more beef with you.
Well, I have beef with the snake.
Well, here's the truth about Ryland Adams. He subjects me to serpents. So I've been thinking about it. Like, a few weeks ago, you forwarded me an email from, is it called Famous Birthdays?
Oh, yeah.
So he forwards me an email from Famous Birthdays and they're asking for like my personal information. And he's like, I'm not going to provide it. And then I was like, I'm not going to provide
it either. Well, I wasn't going to act as your agent on your behalf, but I thought.
Which I understand that. And then the more I fucking thought about it, you don't know when my birthday is.
Oh.
And the reason why you didn't respond to them is because you don't know. the day I was born.
We've already talked about this, Lizzie. We've talked about that I missed your 30th birthday like right. a horrific friend well, then, because we were in the middle of the beginning of
then
a pandemic.
You should know the date of my birthday. What's
it's
my birthday?
May something.
You fucking bitch.
Is it April 28th?
It is April 28th.
Ah! Oh my God. Okay. I knew it. Wow.
I'm so glad you knew that because my bitch ass is over here acting all high and mighty, but I had to Google your birthday again this morning.
Honestly took, and did you find it on famous birthdays?
May 14th. No, it's on Google.
I know, but probably, see, and the only reason I was like, if there are people searching you on famous birthdays, that's where I go find, like whenever I'm searching a celebrity that we're going to talk about, right. I do go find their astrological sign
yeah.
and birthday on famous birthdays. So I was just trying to help a sister out.
No, I appreciate
now that people
it.
Are
I really
appreciate
I mean, that's great. I love being Googled. Let's get these feet on Wiki Feet. Let's get these feet on famous feet. Like, I have dreams. I'd like to make them things. I will respond to them. I actually, a friend of mine is going to take some pictures of me because they also asked for pictures and I don't want to send something that's like 5 years old from when I was too poor to afford food and like look gaunt and sad.
Well, after I was living throughout this weekend.
With a snake in your house.
With a snake in my house, with a lot of people angry at me, understandably, I decided now was the perfect time to watch Soul. Pixar Soul, that's streaming on Disney Plus. Everyone has been telling me to watch Soul.
I loved it. I've seen it twice.
The amount of times I campaigned it to be watched over the holiday break with my family and was turned down for whatever reason. Like they wanted to play Yahtzee instead or whatever.
How dare they?
I finally was like, Lizzie told me this is a great scream cry movie. I love nothing more than to cry at television or movies. Like, that's my favorite pastime. If you tell me, like, oh, this series, you're going to bawl every episode. I love to feel feelings from TV. Like, it's probably my favorite pastime. If something can really get me. So I sit down. I'm ready to cry. I'm ready to scream uncontrollably. Like, you know, like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't cry.
What?
I loved
but
the movie.
But did you finish
it? I loved the plot. Of course I finished okay. it. And then my first, the first thing I did after it ended and I didn't cry when it hit credits, I like touched the remote and I saw, oh, there's 18 minutes left. And then I realized that it's just a movie with 18 minute long credits.
Oh, there's a lot of credits for a Pixar movie.
Which this movie was, this could have been a movie that was just acted. The storyline was
so beautiful.
Yeah. And the imagery was
Beyond.
Yeah. And the storyline was wonderful, but I'm wondering at which point did you scream cry?
What really, really sent me was...
Or is this a spoiler?
It's definitely a spoiler.
Stop and watch the movie and then hit play in 2, 1, go.
So when 22 and the guy are heading back to Earth and they're holding hands and it's their souls and they start to get like...
Oh, separated.
Separated. And he's like, I'll take you as far as I can.
She's starting to cry right now.
The fucking killed me, bitch. That fucking sent me. Because
I guess
had,
that is good.
I've had soulmates who like bailed because they could take me only as far as they could. And then they had to go back to, you know, God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, that sent me. That fucking killed me.
And it's sending you right now.
And it's sending me. In college, I used to fill a blender up with red wine because it was the biggest cup I could find. And I'd watch Charlie St. Cloud and just like go, oh God, like just scream cry through the whole thing.
It is nice to feel something that deeply.
Like, I'm not gonna touch my face because I don't think anything I have on is waterproof, but Jesus, I might go watch Soul again when I get home.
It is a fantastic movie.
It's beautiful.
And it's very rewatchable. I haven't been watching a lot of TV recently because I've been surrounded by family for the last month, which has been great, but also like, where's my TV time? The last show I think was Hollywood by Ryan Murphy, that's a Netflix original, and it's like, I feel like it's, I never hear anyone talking about it. So if you're looking for a good show to binge that. I also wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about your cigarette addiction because it's gotten to the point where last week you were on edge without your cigarettes. You told me you were going to prepare.
So like, here's the deal. I have a bad addiction. I've kicked a lot of shit out of my fucking life, cold turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Cigarettes are something that I cannot overcome. I've quit for like 8 months at a time before and I just can't stay on the wagon. And it's like, I regret ever picking up a cigarette. I don't want to smoke anymore, but it's like at the point where I have to, or I'm restless, irritable, I have a headache, I'm an asshole, and I can't think straight. I physically can't think straight. So last week I was running late because I run late every week because I'm a fucking asshole. And I didn't have time to pick up cigarettes and I only had 2 cigarettes left, which I get like sounds like a lot, but that only gets me through the drive here. And then I usually like to smoke a cigarette when I get here so that I can be very clear minded. And I didn't have that. So I was like having the brain, it feels like my brain just sort of going like this. And it's like you can see the frequencies and like stars in front of your face, but you can't hear or think anything straight. Anyways, yeah. So I bought 2 emergency packs of cigarettes that I was just going to keep in the old Prius, Brandy the She-ris. And have smoked both of them. I'm down to 4.
And then as I'm walking out to record this podcast today, I didn't even know Lizzie's behind me. And I hear, "Dah! Fuck! Dah!" And I was like, I turned around so shocked because I didn't even know anyone was behind me. And she had just burnt her hair on her own cigarettes.
Your impression of me like hurts my feelings. It's so accurate. Like, I feel seen, but like, I don't like what you see.
Was it at least the green piece of hair that you're trying to
I
get rid of?
I think it was. I was just like texting, and I was, but I would like text near my face because I can't see without my glasses either. Like, I'm blind every time we do this. And so I would just have my phone really close to my face, and I heard like some. And I was like, what is that? And then I look and it's like 3 hairs are singed and curled. And I was just like, oh, for God's sakes.
I mean, you sounded more like my impression, but I'll give you
I
that.
I
did.
I was screaming. I was taking the Lord's name in vain, though I do respect the homie.
But the green has grown on me.
Oh, I hate it.
Really?
I hate it.
I couldn't help my visceral reaction when I first saw it. Like when you first did the reveal to me mm-hmm. in Morgan's video, which I think she cut me being like, oh.
No, she didn't.
Oh. But now I've come to like it. Now that it's a little faded, I'm like, I'm just a cool, hip 16-year-old girl.
I'm done with this hair. I'm done with this life. Morgan fucking texted me the other day to like straight sabotage my existence. She's like, I'm ready to commit. Let's do our hair again. And I'm just like, fuck you, Morgan. Like, never again, sis.
All right, let's get into some hot topics. First of all, do you have something more important than me right now?
No, I just keep getting calls and ignoring it. So I thought I would take that opportunity to silence my phone.
Do you want me to connect them and we can have a conversation with whoever's calling you right now?
I don't think we want to talk to these people.
Are you sure?
No, it's just, if you want, are we segueing?
Yeah, I'm going into Armie Hammer.
Yeah, Danica was calling to talk about Armie Hammer.
You have friends that are calling you to talk about hot topics? Do we need to create a panel on this show?
I mean, I wouldn't mind it. They're very informed.
Armie Hammer has been under fire for allegedly being a cannibal. And it sprung out with Instagram DMs that we still don't know if they're real or fake. I think they've come out as fake, but he was saying, I'm 100% cannibal and I want to eat you. And that went nuts on Twitter. And then after that, one of his ex-girlfriends said, he said to me, he wants to break my rib and barbecue and eat it. And
the way you say barbecue.
Barbecue.
Barbecue?
Barbecue.
Cute.
And then she also said he would say that I want to take a bite out of you. And she said if I had a little cut on my hand, he'd like to lick it or suck it. Suck the blood. But she said that's about as weird as it got. So I don't.
So for me, like, I'm a person who gets extreme cuteness aggression, but I definitely think there's a difference between me wanting to like rip my teeth out of my head and throw them across the room because my dog's so cute and Armie Hammer saying he wants to eat your ribs.
And I guess there is, it's hard with cannibalism because it's, and I'm laughing because it seems so out of this world.
Yeah, I just mean like there's expressions and then there's expressions of some desire, and it's the desire that I think we're finding all very disturbing.
And I guess has he never acted on this, it's like, what can you really do if it's something like he wants to fetishize but he's not putting people's lives at harm? It's like, I guess he's allowed to do that, even though it's creepy. Like, I would still run from him if I was a woman that he was pursuing.
Oh, absolutely.
But like, it has gone all the way.
I mean, I think that the big problem here is that is this the same woman who said the thing about he groomed her? Like, he's very charming and charismatic out the gates, and then he slowly introduces you to this world of, she said, was fully consuming, and it hurts her, and it exhausts her, and it takes over her life. Like,
and I can't label anyone, do I want to label anyone.
I don't either, but
it sounds like extreme narcissistic behavior, if not psychopathy.
Psychopathy.
Yeah, like a psychopath behavior. I'm just putting it out there because somebody that can charm you and not feel remorse for saying creepy things.
It's deeply troubling.
I guess we're also not there for the delivery of it. Like, I don't, if Shane got a cut, I think I would maybe like lick it if he asked. I wouldn't want to I wouldn't want to eat somebody. It's all very crazy. But well, now,
then there's the other part of it where it's like there were also leaked videos of him smoking DMT
on his own fake Instagram that has been, I think, confirmed to be real.
There are so many things that we don't know because we're not in the room, right? Like, we don't know the tone of "I want to eat you."
Yeah,
I want to barbecue your rib. But it's like,
I think we can confirm that his behavior is very odd.
Yeah,
and aside from his ex, he has an ex-wife. Well, they're currently getting a divorce.
Yeah,
and she's in a different country with his children, and he's over there doing drug tests, I guess, to prove
be able to see his children.
Yeah. But he's saying DMT isn't something they test for. And on his Finsta, he documents all of this stuff,
which is crazy.
As a celebrity, I don't care if it's your Finsta. If you're somebody with as large as a profile as Armie Hammer, that is such reckless behavior. Because of course, even if you only have let 40 of your closest friends follow it, one of those people are gonna slip.
I mean, to me, it's just the oddest thing is to want to do DMT and document it on social media. Like, that's not what DMT is about. Like, it's a hardcore hallucinogen that makes you quote unquote see and talk to God.
See, and
some people believe that it breaks down the simulation walls, and I can think of nothing more superficial than wanting to smoke DMT and make a selfie at the same time. Like, that's a weird combination of mindset.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where this man is at mentally. It seems like he's not doing well to put such a high-profile career at stake. I mean, he just had to seemingly...
Not even his career, but his family.
Life, his family.
His and family.
He did just drop out publicly from a movie that was going to be with J-Lo. That they were just about to start production on. I have a feeling the studio is like, with all of the stuff that's going on, we can't have you in this film, but we'll give you the out if you want to take it to help lessen the blow. Armie did speak out saying that he's not responding to these bullshit claims, but in light of the vicious and spurious online attacks against him, he cannot in good conscience now leave his children for 4 months to shoot a film in the Dominican Republic. And I understand what he's saying, but now that he's followed his kids to a different country, like, being on drugs doesn't seem to be...
Yeah, I think the compromise to your relationship with your children is your public posting of drug use. I think that's something that's compromising your time and relationship with them.
Why further think, especially in times like these, no company is taking a risk on anyone right now. Like, we're so quick to drop anything and everything, and some for good reason. But I just, like, I wish him well. And it seems like he's in a state of, maybe it's he's gotten everything he wants in life and he's searching for a purpose. We can only make assumptions on behavior like this. And if he really does, like, if he's actually acted out on these cannibalistic claims, that's another story.
Yeah.
People have different kinks. They'll be like, I love it when you talk dirty. I mean, I know cannibalism is a little bit different than that.
Yeah, I mean, I think because the woman came out publicly saying she wasn't a fan of the conversation, I think that means she didn't like this. And the fact that she said that she was specifically groomed, I think means that she was like manipulated down this path of behavior that was something that she wasn't fully consenting to.
Yeah,
and that's the problem.
And I feel for that as well. She did say that it never went further than him licking
talking
or sucking
it,
her blood.
Right.
But that doesn't excuse his behavior. Have you ever had, what's the craziest like fetish or fantasy somebody's tried on you?
I'm literally the most boring bitch you will ever meet in your life. Like, nothing. No one's ever wanted to do some weird, sick shit with this body, which, like, now that we're talking about it, I don't know if I'm offended. But yeah, like, no. Like, nothing.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's tried anything too crazy with me either. I'm trying to think of the weirdest, but I guess
I can think of
just
something,
to,
but it's not weird.
What?
Do you want me to say? You got mad last time I outed.
I mean, go for it, and I'll cut it if it's horrific.
Do you remember when you came to La Pan Quotidian and like you were like, some guy just fucking spit in my mouth?
Oh, that was, I was not a fan of that.
I
don't think he was like trying to degrade me because he wanted me to spit back in his mouth. And it just like,
I'm not a spit person. I can't even handle spit as lube. It makes me fucking sick.
Yeah, spit is lube. You know, yeah, what I mean? I'm like, not opposed spit to spitting on a hand. And
no,
then,
I mean, and I know that that's very normal, but for me, it's like if that's ever on the table, I'm like,
a finger in the mouth, I can like get on board with, but spitting in someone's mouth while you're in the middle of a makeout session is not something I can get involved with.
I don't even want to share like a milkshake.
Have you ever had to leave a sexual encounter? Because I'm like, I have a very specific.
Jesus, have I ever had to leave a sexual
encounter?
Yeah,
like mid, I was hooking up with somebody once and we got in the shower and I really just decided I did not like this person and did not want to be there. So in the middle of like being naked mid hookup in the shower, I just decided it was time for me to go. I was also very stoned.
Yeah.
And I go like really inward when I get stoned and then start overthinking everything. But then I just decided this isn't for me. So then I had to go sit in my car and wait for me to stop being stoned to drive out.
Oh, honey. I love that though. I think that's incredible. I think being empowered enough in a situation where you know you're uncomfortable and saying, you know what, this is enough for me. I'm going to go sit in my car and wait this paranoia out. Thank you so much for your time.
I honestly feel bad that he probably had to finish himself, but
I don't think you should feel bad about that.
He wasn't
if you're
mean
uncomfortable,
to me. No, I just it's decided not about being, I was a done.
Exactly. And that's okay too. Someone doesn't have to be mean to you for you to not want to suck and fuck.
Right. And this is in my early 20s when I was really like, I wanted to make sure that I figured out what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I think that I successfully did that.
I never had to leave a physical sexual encounter that made me uncomfortable, but I've had like superficial relationships with men where they'll send me a message that definitely crosses my line. Like one guy was talking about, he brought up anal sex or something, and I just was like, yeah, that's not for me. And he was like, I'll make it for you. And I was like, and here's where we separate. If anyone's going to tell me they're going to make me fucking something that I've already expressed is beyond my boundaries, they can fuck right off.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Audible, which I love Audible so much.
I do
they
too.
They are the leading provider of spoken word entertainment and audiobooks, ranging from bestsellers to celebrity memoirs. You name it, Audible has it. I love using their service, especially when I'm just walking my dog or folding my laundry. I like to retain information while doing things that aren't really fun if I'm not listening to something. Most recently, I listened to Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday. It's a fantastic read if you are successful, if you want to be successful, to kind of pause, reflect, and rethink how you go about living your day-to-day life. Audible also just recently launched Audible Plus. With an Audible Plus membership, you'll get access to their full Plus catalog where you'll get thousands and thousands of titles that entertains, inspires, and informs. It's easy to find just the right listen for any setting. You could even meditate, do whatever fixes your fancy. If you want to take advantage of Audible sponsoring The Sip, go to audible.com/The Sip or text The Sip to 500-500 to start your free 30-day trial. Once again, that is audible.com/thesip or text 500-500 to start your free 30-day trial. Well, Chrissy Teigen is coming for my gig and she's becoming a horse person, which has somehow since become controversial.
There's not enough room in the horse girl community for you and Chrissy Teigen.
Honestly, I follow all the girls on Instagram that like have horses and live my best life, like what I envision to be my best life, like Kaylee Cuoco. She's always with her horses. And so I guess Chrissy Teigen, who's had a hard year, like she had a miscarriage publicly, which I think did help a lot of people, I'm sure, which is why she shared it. But she shared a series of photos with her newfound hobby that she's taking up with the caption, "My therapist said I needed something that I do just for me as I have absolutely nothing currently, LOL. Today begins my journey into the horse world. I hope this dude likes me. He's so handsome and appears to be lazy. I love." He's like, the horse is like laying down.
And she's like, P.S. Ryland.
I mean, I'll come ride horses with you, Chrissy girl. Just give me a call. But so a lot of people got all pissed off that A, she took her whole family with her when she said her therapist needed something just for her. And then B, called her privileged with so many people not having anything and she got to go get a horse.
Right. Do we need to get pissed off about this though? Like, I'm just wondering, is this something that's worth me getting emotionally distraught over internally?
You think you could? You possibly could, because I couldn't. She didn't buy the horse. She went to a place probably in Calabasas and rode a horse for a day, which I'm sure you could find somewhere to ride horses for free. Even.
I mean, just because somebody else has something that I don't doesn't mean that I need to be upset about it. Because a lot of people have things that I don't have, and I don't wake up feeling bad about myself because of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and also, like, I don't know that we need to be mad about a woman spending time with her family.
I bet everything on the internet nowadays, which makes it hard to be on the internet, honestly. And I know the world is in a state of chaos, and it is deeply upsetting, and it is horrific to watch the events of the world, which is why our podcast specifically is, I hope, an escape. It's lighthearted. Yeah. We talk about fun, silly things to have a good laugh. But it does, like, sometimes make me consider just, like, why I'm doing this, what my purpose is, and do I really want to live in the toxicity that is the internet? Because it seems to be constantly erupting for everyone. Like, Chrissy Teigen riding a horse is now somehow problematic.
Right, but see, the problem is that you're construing people having a problem with it being problematic. Like, these people don't get to declare what's a problem and what's not a problem.
I mean, it was a problem enough for her to then make a response to someone. Well, that's,
that's her choice, right? Yeah. So it doesn't validate that it's an issue. Her responding to it is her own prerogative as well.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that because you respond to something means that it's authentically an issue.
Okay, yeah, I hear what you say.
And you know, maybe Chrissy is just used to having her family around, which sounds like she is, because she wants to do something independently. Like, I sometimes say, like, oh, I need a break from my dogs because they just want to lick my face 24/7. And the second I'm away, I'm like, oh my God, I fucking miss my dogs.
Right. And I think it was just the parallel between her saying, I need something for myself, then brings her whole family. And I mean, it's all stupid. She also revealed a couple of weeks ago, which I thought was very interesting, that she was 4 weeks sober. She had commented on,
That's a lot of time.
Sick of being messy at award show. Like, it stemmed from award shows, she said, and she was just sick of making a fool of herself, so she wanted to better her life. And so I think good for her. I think she's, like, trying to put one foot in front of the other and make create a better life for herself. I know that we've talked about you being sober on this podcast, but we've never really, like, dived into, like, how, like, what was, and if this is too much for you, it's fine. What was, like, the breaking point for you where you decided, like, I need to get help for myself?
I mean, technically there were two breaking points. So, like, something like 7 years ago, you and I actually got really fucked up on my birthday.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that?
I'm trying to remember which one, but yes. I mean,
no, it was my 23rd birthday, and I was like, oh, I only have 3/4 of a bottle of vodka. Like, you, me, and our friend can't get too fucked up.
Right.
And then we finished it, and then I was like, all right, let's go get another bottle, because I have a problem with alcohol. I can never have enough of it. That's the problem. I can never get enough alcohol to be satisfied.
And being 100% transparent with you, at the time, I didn't know you had a problem.
A lot of people didn't know.
Kind of alarming to me, because I was 20 something also, and just was like, we're getting drunk like 20-year-olds
like
do.
It's normal. Uh-huh. I think it is normal for 20-year-olds and, like, younger people and even older people to, like, binge drink from time to time. The difference is, like, I had promised myself I was not going to do a certain thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was like, oh, I'm going to have 6 shots because I'm, and that's the other thing that I think is kind of funny in retrospect. Like, my bare minimum is 6 shots. Like, that's kind of a lot. Like, I'm only going to have 6 shots tonight, guys. But the real issue for me is that I have a spiritual problem that I was trying to solve by using anything, using alcohol, using drugs, spending too much money, being mean, all these things. But in order to feel right, I didn't need these other things. I just needed to get right. I needed to get right for myself to feel better.
Right.
The day after that night, I found myself shitting on the toilet and vomiting through my own legs. And that was a breaking point, because, like, I had never had to, like, sit on a toilet and vomit through my own legs and just be completely. And I'd had really fucked up hangovers before. I'd made really stupid choices before, like, compromised professional opportunities for myself by, like, going out and getting drunk for 72 hours. Right. I had hurt a lot of people's feelings because I didn't feel well. So I was lashing out and all these things that has just caused me a great deal of shame, which resulted in me needing more substances to numb myself.
Right.
So really dealing with the shame that I had, the anxiety that I had, the hatred that I had in my heart was the only solution. And so I quit drinking that day. My last drink was actually with you, which I forget sometimes.
Well, I didn't even ever know that.
Yeah, that was the last time. And it felt like a it felt like a romantic breakup, which is really fucking sad to admit out loud. But like, I was crying. I was like, that's my fucking girl. Like, this is all I've had. Like, what the fuck? Like, I appreciate this more than my friends who can drink. Like, right. Ryland doesn't even love drinking like I love drinking, and he gets to still drink. Like, think mm-hmm. like that was how that went down. And then I never picked up alcohol again, but I also never worked on quelling the pain inside myself that caused me to drink and caused right. me to use. So then I wound up picking up like prescription drugs and Molly, which I love, and weed, which at first was like, I'm just going to smoke weed like once a month. But because I have this problem, mm-hmm. it turns into I'm going to smoke weed every day when I'm finished with my work before I go to bed. And then it turns into my mind's constantly cycling on like, when can I use Molly? When can I use weed? When can I use these drugs? And that's all my focus becomes. All of a sudden, I'm smoking every 2 hours. I'm waking up in the middle of the night to sneak outside to smoke a like three bowls from mm-hmm. a bong. Like, and I used to joke about it and call it marathon bong rips because I'd just like pack five bowls and smoke them in a row, like one right. after the other. And it literally took, and I wasn't happy. You know what I mean? Just because I removed alcohol from my life, I was still deeply unhappy. Like, one right, Christmas,
you were masking.
Yeah, because I was masking and not dealing, and shame was building. And one Christmas, I like had a straight up mental breakdown where I like ran out of the house, was walking down Ventura Boulevard, like barefoot, trying to pick fights with women in their SUVs. And Joe straight up like looked me in the face, just like depleted, like had a horrible couple of years with this girl that he met who was a year clean and sober and then started using again with him. And he was like, your life is in chaos. And that mm-hmm. word chaos reverberated in the room because I'd been to a few of these like meetings for sobriety and like experienced some fellowship of other sober people. And that word chaos is a key word, like your life is in chaos, mm-hmm. but there is a solution. So that one time that Joe said that, I was like, God, I guess I got to get better on my, I got to get on my P's and Q's. And in my mind, I was such a drug addict. I was like, I'm not going to stop using, but I am going to start like also trying to work these steps in this program so that right. I can be a better person. And then, you know, it took about a week and a half before I heard someone talk about like rigorous honesty and the relief and joy that you get from like being rigorously honest, like employing these morals and principles and practices in your life and in all of your affairs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God damn, dude, like I want the relief that she has. I want what she has.
Yeah.
And I was like desperate and willing and off and running.
And as I've seen you evolve over the, because I was there through you picking back up smoking and then when you stopped smoking. And I think the growth for you has been exponential, even in the way you react to situations. Like I look to you so often to be like, I want to do this so bad right now. And you'll always like take me down and be like, well, why are you reacting? And I think you've grown so much as a person because you've had to confront the things that you had previously been masking. So I think that is so incredible.
Well, I really appreciate that, Ryland.
Do you... And I don't mean to be a downer, but I know yeah. a lot of people, like people around you still do, like me, I still can drink. And how do you cope with that? Because you've never been the type, at least to my knowledge, to be like, oh, like I'm sober. Could you please also not engage yeah. with me?
I think everybody's different. Everybody has their own struggles and their own needs. So for me, I'm lucky right now that I don't have an itch in my fingertips to touch alcohol mm-hmm. or to feel the burn in my tummy. And that's a blessing because I never thought I would get to that point. And I don't know if it's going to be forever that I feel this way, but I know that today I don't have that. So that's not a problem for me today right now. There are other things that I find super triggering. And I do just articulate that. Like, I do not feel comfortable around marijuana vape pens. Mm-hmm. Because it's so easy to just pick that up and put it in your mouth and then all of a sudden, like, kiss your time goodbye.
Right.
And so I do ask that if I'm around one, I very kindly just say, hey, do you mind putting that back in your pocket? Like, can we not leave that on the counter? Mm-hmm. Things like that.
Right.
Another thing I have a problem with is Molly. Like, I don't like being around people on Molly because that shit made my heart sing. Like,
right.
And what's really interesting is, within my sobriety and within my spiritual journey, I honestly feel as lit as I do on Molly. Like the first time I had a revelation that my life could feel different, that I could mm-hmm. feel comfortable in my own skin without substances, I was like, that's like when the Molly hits.
Wow.
So like if someone's around me and they're like, do you mind if I do Molly? I do say, I do mind if you do Molly. Do you mind not doing it? And if you are going to do it, I'm going to leave, but I still love you and I'm not judging you.
Right.
But wow. Yeah. And Molly was never good for me anyways, because I would just like go into a bathroom and cornrow my hair for 45 minutes and like listen to Hamilton and like take weird selfies. And it got to a point where like I thought everyone was doing Molly, and like everyone in my circle was like, no, bitch, it was 11 a.m. on a Tuesday. Like none of us were popping. I was like, I wouldn't do drugs alone. And then it's like, oh, wait, I would. And I did.
I am curious. And so I've never struggled with alcoholism, but for somebody that is dealing with somebody that is abusing alcohol in their own life, how do you approach the situation if the person using isn't yet ready themselves?
Like, that's a really hard question, because I don't know how to explain it. It's like if you got something that you loved, right? So like, say you just got this new Brita water filter mm-hmm. and you swear by this Brita water filter, and I want all my fucking friends to have this Brita water filter. You can't make your friends love a Brita water filter.
Right.
You can't force a person into desperation and willingness. And it sucks, because you want them to have what you have. You want them to have the comfort and joy and love that you have burning inside of you.
Right.
So the program that I'm a member of is all about attraction and not promotion. So I can be there for a person in need, but I can't tell them what's wrong with them. I can never diagnose anyone but myself. Mm-hmm. I'm the only thing I can control. But if they want help, they can ask me for help and I can tell them my story.
Right.
I can let them know what I did, what steps I took to get to this place. And if they're interested, they can take those same steps.
Right.
But that's about it.
Wow. I mean, I thank you so much for opening up about it. I didn't expect the episode to, like, I wasn't initially planning
either.
On, but I think it helped so many people, and I'm glad it did. And I'm glad you're willing to share your story and express how you feel. I think it will help a lot of people. I know briefly when you've mentioned it before, I've seen a lot of people grateful for your willingness to open up about it.
I definitely can only speak for myself. I can only speak from my personal experience. I'm not an official representative of any sort of program. I can just say, this is what I did. This is what other people who had joy and serenity told me to do. So I took their guidance and followed this tradition of, you know, experience, strength, and hope. But that's about all I can really do. Like,
right.
Yeah. It's pretty sick. My new favorite thing is, like, if I have an old friend hit me up and ask if I have drugs, I'm like, I'm fresh out, but have you tried Jesus? And I literally had a friend like call me, and she was like, what the fuck did that mean? And I was like, you should really try God. Like, have you found God?
I do thank you all for joining and watching this show. We're about to run out of time. Thank you so much for watching and supporting our show. You can follow us on social media at The Sip Official. We're also on there personally. We thank you so much for all you do for us always. And do you have anything else to say?
I think I'm doing ASL for thank you.
I hope that's the correct way of doing
it. You should definitely look into that, Brigitte.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much for watching and supporting our show. I love you very much. Goodbye.
And that's the sip. I almost forgot. I'm so hungry, and you make me do that multiple times.
We always have an issue at the end.
But don't leave before the miracle. I'm starving. I need to have a meal. I'm sorry, everyone.